pirates, life is a life for me. How I long to live on the deep blue sea. But I never, ever, ever had a fear of the weather, and the weather never, ever did a thing for me.
Yeah. Welcome to Seas Life, a podcast for adventure-adoring hearts, go-getter dreamers, and loyal water seekers. We're a sailing couple who believe in a simpler life, one where community, love, and education are found on the water. This podcast is a collection of adventure stories, lessons learned, and laughs as we venture around the world. You can follow our journey visually on Instagram at Seas Life for Good or online through our blog at www.seasliforgood.com. Thanks for listening. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Pouring our coffee, waking up from our boat warming party that we had yesterday. What'd you think of our boat warming party, Ryan?
I was super surprised about all the people that came and all the people that fit on the boat at once without it going too much below the waterline. Pretty impressive.
Yeah, you guys are awesome. You're like the best friends ever. We wanted to kind of celebrate our new home with all of our friends and family and just have a good time and celebrate love and community and friendship. And you guys showed up.
I think we did that.
Yeah. And there were gourmet hot dogs.
I always get that. I don't know why.
Because they're delicious.
It's hot dogs on a grill. It's nothing gourmet.
Maybe it's because they're being made above, you know, salty Chesapeake Bay water.
That's true. It could have like a salt fragrance in the air.
Yeah. They were delicious.
I think it's homegrown tomatoes that help out.
Yes. They are so good. So thanks for joining us, guys. This is episode 001, and our topic today is live aboard life, and we are so excited to talk about this. So we moved onto the boat full-time about 3 months now.
Yeah, I think we can officially say we're liveaboards.
Yeah, so we are full-time liveaboards, which means we live on our boat full-time. We have no land-dwelling home currently that is under our name or to go to. Of course, my condo is rented out, but so we live full time on the boat. So we wanted to share with you guys some things and some stories and answer some questions because we get some questions of how we live our life and go through a little bit of that today and have some fun talking about liveaboard life.
Give us just a few minutes to wake up because we just poured some coffee for ourselves. We're a little bit groggy or slower after that late night last night. It took a lot of effort and energy to put on 50 people at the boat. We were fishing, we were catching fish, we had underwater lights going on with little kids running around watching schools of fish. It was a great time.
So much fun, guys. Okay, but now we're focused, talking about liveaboard life. So when we originally talked about living on a boat full time, the researcher in me kind of wanted to know, like, well, when were the first boats that people lived aboard? So I did a little bit of research, and I found out that between 3000 and 1000 BC, speakers of Austronesian languages throughout Southeast Asia were already crossing oceans.
Seafaring folks.
Yeah, like they were already like spending time on these boats. And you can't just cross an ocean in one day. So it's not like they were a one-day trip. Like they were spending their lives on this boat. They had food on the boat. They had places to sleep, blankets, supplies. So they were already thinking about how you can survive and live life on these boats. And, you know, then they also had tribes that were arriving from South China 8,000 years ago. So these people were prepared for some quality time on a boat. So when we were planning on moving on a boat, I had no idea what that meant and no idea what the liveaboard lifestyle was. So it kind of took us some time to figure it out. And we've made some little categories that we're just going to talk about of behavior changes, of things you can do, of things you can't do, of things you have to do. And things that have funny things that have happened to us thus far. So let's first start with the things that you have to do when you live on a boat.
Okay.
What are some of those things?
Oh, well, you've got holding tanks that store all your bad water stuff, and you have to get those emptied out into the proper disposal
facilities. Yeah, so let's explain that. When you go to the bathroom on a boat,
it goes into your holding tank.
It goes into a holding tank.
Unless you're more than 3 miles offshore, then you can pump it off your board. But we haven't been there yet, so we're going to holding tanks, and then we're having the sanitation patrol here in Norfolk that's a free service. It's great. You call them, line them up, they come out, they pump out your holding tanks, and then you give them a little tip. It's great.
Yes, you don't really have to do that on land. So that was a new thing, that of something that you have to do that I wasn't really aware of. But it is.
Jackie, one of my West Indian friends from St. Croix, used to tell me, "Boy, you're going to make a deposit in here, and then where's it going to go? It goes into the holding tank. You take your deposits and you put them in the proper place."
That's right. So that's something that has to be done. And then also, you have to monitor your water.
You do. We've got about 180 gallons of water storage on board in two different tanks.
And they run out.
They do. We've got like a 2.5-3 week, depending upon how conservative we're being. Go time with both those tanks, and we try to keep them topped off.
And we try and do things like, if you're going to wash dishes, you can actually use seawater for that. So there's ways that you can keep your fresh drinking water, keep that on board with you so that you're not using all of that all at once. But that's something that you have to, like,
even the heads can keep in mind. Switched over to a saltwater flush versus a freshwater flush.
And heads are bathrooms. It's the toilets. I didn't know that. So if you didn't know that, don't feel bad.
That's right. Head on a boat.
Yes.
It's not the head on your shoulders.
So that's something different, like making sure you're monitoring your water, because you have to individually fill it back up. On a home, you don't do that. So I think I just always assumed that water was available, but it's not, because we're responsible for filling that back up.
That ties me into the battery storage and voltage and levels and keeping up with what you've got and making sure that you can create more energy than you're using. So we've got a 12-volt system, both refrigerator and freezer run off of that 12-volt system, and all our house lights throughout, be it navigation lights outside or inside lights, LEDs or reading lights, bathroom lights, they're all 12-volt. So we've got some solar panels. We've got two 180-watt panels run in series. They go to a charge controller, which controls the amount of energy for the bright sun time in the middle of the afternoon, so it doesn't overcharge our battery bank. But during the sun, they're continuously putting in new voltage into our battery bank, and that's allowing us to keep our refrigerators going. So it's a kind of a continuous method that you're always checking your display of what the battery voltage is reading, and then sometimes that's not always 100% accurate, so you're putting your hand tester on the actual battery bank to make sure that that's corresponding with the display. You've got to be aware of your battery voltage level, that way you don't go dead in the water.
Exactly. And that also goes in with, you're talking about energy, propane. So we cook off of propane.
We do.
And propane is also something that runs out. So in a home, we had, you know, an electric stove, and that was just being used off of our, you know, Dominion power bill that we paid. But now we don't have a Dominion power bill, so we have to monitor all of the power that's coming into the boat, and then also what we're using if we're not using solar power, which is propane. So that's something that we get in little tanks, or that we have to make sure that if we're running low, like, we've got to go and refill that as well.
Everything's got to be monitored. Gauge and everything.
Yeah.
Propane is such a dangerous gas that we've got several different shutoff switches that we have to continuously make sure that we shut off after every time we cook. That way, propane is a heavy gas, so it'll seep into the lowest areas of the bilge if it was to leak, which would be deadly. So we've just always double check and make sure that we shut off our shutoff
solenoids. And we're also, we make sure that we have little alarms so that if there's any gas that the little alarms pick up, they'll go off to warn us.
Carbon monoxide alarms.
Yeah. Because we want to make sure that we're safe. Something else that we have to do all the time that we're checking and rechecking and just to make sure that our, you know, sea's life is safe is lines.
Oh, yeah. We just came from a non-floating dock situation where the lines would be juggled around every tide and we could tie off, you know, it depends on which different anchorage or dock that you are in to see how you might have to redo or continue to keep up with your lines. But, you know, if the boat hits a dock, it's going to mess up the fiberglass work and we've spent too much time redoing it and making it look decent.
Yeah, so when you're living on land, your home kind of just stays where you left it. But when you're living on a boat, the tides are always changing, and then there's wind, there's weather that may come in, bad weather that may come in.
Yeah, we get storms, we put out like a spider web of lines all around the boat.
So these lines keep your home, our boat in this case, they keep it secured and safe and in the same, you know, same place. But it's, you know, there's a science to it, and Ryan is great at it, and I'm learning it, that you have to talk a little bit about what you were telling me where, you know, one line has got to have different pressure points or something.
Tension. You tie your spring lines off so the boat won't spring onto the dock, and it's kind of a system, but once you learn how to do it, it's really simple, and it all logically makes sense that you just set your spring line so that your boat can't go forward anymore or can't go back anymore. And then depending upon each docking situation, it's all relevant to how each one uniquely is set up. But make it so your boat's not going to smack against the dock.
Yeah. And then another thing that you have to do when you live aboard, I think, is you have to make sure that everything is secured and in place. Because, you know, when you're living here, whether you're at the dock or if you're going to go out sailing, like, stuff can fall down, roll around.
Yeah, we learned our lesson there, didn't we? Not to buy glass wine glasses.
Oh my gosh, yes. Let's share that story.
You go for it. It was your lesson. I told you not to bring them on board, but you know, sometimes you just gotta learn firsthand.
So Ryan has been a live aboard before, of course. I haven't. So I had these wine glasses that I absolutely loved that were with me at my beach condo, and we're packing up, and he was so sweet to let me bring them, and he packed them all up in newspaper, and he even hung for me a, like, you know, one of those upside down wine glass holders that you can slide it in with the stem, and I was so happy. I had my wine glasses, and we went out sailing once, and there was some waves.
Meanwhile, I told her that they weren't a good idea on the boat, and she shouldn't bring them, and she just insisted that they were so meaningful to her. And I was like, all right, well then you're just gonna feel that.
Yeah, to learn the hard way. So we were out sailing, and all of a sudden, I hear this, like, crash. And I'm like, what was that? So I come running back in, and all of my wine glasses were on the floor, shattered. And so learned that lesson and went out the very next day, because wine glasses are definitely needed. went out the very next day and bought plastic wine glasses that look just as fabulous as glass wine glasses. But that was a lesson learned.
And they don't shatter.
And they don't shatter because they still fall. So that's something art on our walls. Like, sometimes we'll take the art down and place it where it will be secure. Knives, anything that we have on board, because we live here full time, that is not going to be great to be, you know, tossed around in the waves. You have to secure it. You have to make sure everything is good. Okay, good.
Has a home. Everything's got to go to its home. If it's a sailing home or if it's just a decorative station when we're at port.
It's so true.
Everything has to be in its home.
Because the space is smaller, so you have to be efficient. You have to know where it is. You have to know where it goes.
It's a lot of little plastic bags and putting things that are like tapes together or electrical labeling stuff together. And then knowing where you put it. It's like you're the master designer of packing. And you have to pack things into little bags and then shove them into spots and remember that mental map of where you packed them.
Yeah, that's and so then true.
When we're at the dock, back to the power issue, we can plug into 120-volt power, which will run our air conditionings. Currently, we don't have a generator, so we can only run our new air conditionings that we put in when we're plugged into shore power.
Yeah.
We also have a battery charger that we can plug into and run and charge our batteries when we're on shore power.
But right now it's so incredibly beautiful outside. We have windows open and AC is off, and it's so beautiful.
So we also have two hot water heaters that are required for the 120 volts also. But when we're underway, the engines feed into the hot water heaters and keep the water warm, so we can take hot showers after we motor without being on a dock plugged into 120. And if we want to have a hot shower while we're at the dock, we've got to plug in the hot water heater.
Yeah. So those are our things that we have to do. You know, we have to make sure our boat is secure. We have to monitor our water. We have to monitor our holding tanks, our power, our propane, our lines. So there's a lot of heightened awareness.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Yeah.
Well put.
When you're living on a boat, you have to just be really aware of the weather around you, of the possessions around you, of the levels of water and energy. And so I had never, that was totally new to me. Okay, so those are the things that we have to do. But
which in turn, I think it makes us more aware of consumption and how much we're using.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that leads into our behavior changes. What behavior changes that we've had since then. And definitely for me, I was thinking water. My behavior with water has changed. My behavior with shopping, as far as like what we bring onto the boat, whether food, clothes, stuff.
That's a great point. It's amazing to me to see how much cardboard or plastic you accumulate with every new supply that you buy at each different grocery store. But then right when we come back on board, we take all the cardboard out because it's been known that cockroaches will live in cardboard, and then if you leave it on board, they could come on board. So we take everything out of the cardboard box.
Go-go.
Like Pop-Tarts are stacked neatly in a row, and then the cardboard
that's
that
they pleasure.
Come in are taken out to the trash right away. So we're much more aware of the wastefulness that each different manufacturer puts into packaging things for the American ease of the American way that you can take home with ease and not have to worry about you're getting your hands sticky or a little bit messy, but because everything's packaged so neatly.
Yeah, absolutely. Those are the kind of things. And also, what is it about bananas? I had to learn about those the hard
bananas
way.
Bananas on a boat? It's bad luck, but I think it originated the bad luck theory because fruit flies are so attracted to bananas. That's the story I heard. I don't know how accurate it is, but I have heard that no bananas on a boat, it's bad luck. Heard that for many, many years. And then I recently heard in the last couple of years, it's because hundreds and hundreds of years ago, when they bring fruit on, fruit flies come with the bananas.
Yeah. So I brought some bananas on board, not knowing this story.
Tested out the theory.
And it is true. So yeah, no cardboard. We try not to have a lot of plastic on the boat. We try to reuse water bottle, you know, anything that we have, like we have stainless steel. Well, I guess it's steel. I don't really know what it is. My Yeti cup. Some kind of like...
You love your Yeti.
I love my Yeti cup. It's amazing. But reusable cups is what we're trying to say. Like we try and get water or anything that way because we don't really like all that stuff on the boat. Cool.
We've just become much more aware of what our use is and then what we actually don't need when we're using things. And if we try to cut out that excess to save the world, reduce our carbon footprint, and try not to be as big of pollutants as we were before.
Another behavior change I've noticed is that we wake up with the sun and we go to sleep when the sun goes down.
Yeah, live the full day for the day of the sun. And then by the time the sun goes down, we're exhausted.
Oh gosh, it's so true. But when I lived on land, I felt like I defied that a little bit more. Like I was waking up with an alarm, you know, before the sun rose. And then I was like staying up until midnight or 1 a.m. But, you know, we live on this beautiful boat now with all of these windows. And, you know, we naturally arise when the sun starts coming up. And then we are, as soon as the sun sets, it's kind of like we're making dinner and we're ready to go to bed. And I feel like at a much better, like, natural rhythm.
I agree. That's a very good point. I thoroughly enjoy waking up to the sun and going to bed shortly after it sets.
Yeah.
Even though our bedroom has a curtain over the window, so it's not like it's completely light shining in the morning, but it's just the natural.
It's just, you know, it's like you know when the sun is up. Yeah.
Making the most out of every day.
Yeah. So that was a nice behavior change. And then I think another one that I've noticed is that we living on a boat requires you to be far more physical.
True.
You know, because you're hopping, you have to hop from the dock to your boat, or if you're going to go from our boat, from Sea's Life, into the dinghy, you're balancing to hop from the boat into the small boat, you are stepping over lines, you are stepping down into an engine room, which essentially, like, you're, like, doing the splits to get into the engine room, you are pulling these, you know, heavy sails, and...
I think you're right. I think that...
It's far more physical.
Brings, in my opinion... a few necessary requirements to make this life successful. One, you have to not be scared of physical activity, and being a mini contortionist in small areas with on that basic kind of electrical skills and plumbing skills or knowledge of how to, you know, ground a negative or connect positives and how to crimp wires, monitor the bilges so they don't fill up, and you're always kind of aware of your situation. If you can be aware of your situation, anybody can do this.
Oh, yeah, anybody can learn these things, anybody can do these things, and we're not saying that you're not doing these things at a home. You are doing these, you are monitoring things at your home as well.
Right.
But I almost feel like it's a factor of, like, it could go wrong faster on a boat.
Absolutely. You could sink, you're floating.
Yeah.
Anything goes wrong with a through-haul and shutoff valve's not working, then... you got water in your bilge, you're going down. Yeah. You got to figure out quickly how to bail that out or plug the leak. Or...
So we've talked about the things that we have to do. We've talked about how that's changed some of our behaviors. But what are the cool things that we can do?
You tell me. I know plenty.
Well.
What do you think is cool?
Yeah, the coolest thing so far, well, many things. I absolutely have loved being a liveaboard, by the way, as someone that has never done it. Yeah, I absolutely love
so
it.
So exciting to see.
It's a lot of fun. And I never knew that I would think it's fun, but I really do. I really do.
You're so opposed to it a year and 2 months ago, now you've just come out full circle, and it's just so.
Yeah. Tense. Well, I love that we can travel anywhere with all of our stuff.
Me too.
I love it.
The floating RV on the sea.
Yeah, it's like, you know, you used to, I just don't have to worry about packing. And you know that feeling that's like, oh man, I think I forgot something. We don't have that feeling.
It's all here.
It's all here. It's all here. Everything that we need is right here. It's like, oh, did I forget my bathing suit? Oh, it's here. Mm-hmm. Did I forget my contacts or my glasses? Oh, no, it's here. Did I forget my hairbrush? It's here. I need to take a shower. I need my shampoo and conditioner. Oh, it's here. Everything is here. And, you know, we just moved marinas, and that was as simple as...
Pulling the lines up.
And we moved marinas. You know, we didn't have to pack at all. So that, I think, is really kind of fun.
Absolutely.
What else can we do being liveaboards?
Well, I feel like we can fish and try to catch our dinner right aboard. I feel like when we do grocery shop, we're much more... list-oriented and bring into the grocery store and have certain things that we need because it might be a couple weeks until we get to the store the next time.
Which saves us money.
Yeah, we're really using all that we're buying and bringing on board, whereas I can remember my old house with a refrigerator that's twice the size of my body, and you think of all the stuff that is in the back that you had half of.
It's there for months.
You were, like, saving it until next week, and then it just kind of is like in that... is it bad? I don't know that I want to get sick. And you can justify throwing away something if it's bad, but as it sits in the fridge before it's bad, you can't really throw it away, and you're in that limbo point of, like, I don't want to waste that. It's good
still.
It gets,
like, that ice build on it. Yeah, and but like, then how once... long has that been there?
Like, I can throw it away. It's old. We don't really feel that way anymore. We try to buy only, you know, a week or so worth of goods that are going to go bad, and then we have a backup of rice and beans and Broderick stew and spaghetti noodles and all this stuff that we can survive on, rice and beans. And
So we can save money. because we are more aware of what we're bringing onto the boat and what we're partaking in the food each week. So that's really cool. He mentioned that we can fish. So at our old marina, we were surrounded by two seafood restaurants. And so we would see people over there and they would be eating their, crab or their fish for dinner. And then we were sitting on the boat eating the same thing, crab and fish that they were paying, $25, $30 a plate for, that we were able to bring right out of the water and combine with some rice or some vegetables. And so that's something we can do.
We think ours was fresher also.
Yeah, it's kind of fun to fish for your dinner and know where, it's coming from. That's kind
of
cool.
We're big fans of eating dinner on the trampoline and watching the sunset.
Yes. Yeah, we always get to see the sunsets and the sun, rises, and that's really fun. So if you heard the airplane above, we live by a base, we live by a military base and a airport. So we get to see all of the boats and all of the planes come and go, which is kind of fun. Cool. So we have some questions that people have asked us and that we've written down, and we wanted to just kind of answer them and tell you any fun stories or funny stories that have happened. So one of the questions that we get is, how much does it cost to live aboard a boat?
Okay. Good questions.
Yeah.
So we pay about $1,200 a year in insurance for our boat. We have a slip right now that's $575 a month, which includes electricity and water. So we've been really fortunate to make some good moves in life to not have a mortgage on the boat right now. So we pretty much can live for under $700 a month for the two of us.
Yeah. Which is amazing. And then, we probably spend about $50 a week on groceries.
Yeah, we've been really trying hard not to eat out as a thought process that when we're in a third world country, we can eat out for weeks of what we'd probably spend in one night here. So we've been really conscientious about cooking every meal and trying to get everything from grocery stores that aren't the conventional big guys.
And you fill up with water at your marinas. What about gas?
Fuel. We can store 160 gallons on board. We filled up our tanks in May, and we have one full tank, so we have one 80-gallon tank still full, and we've got about half of our other tank full.
And that's dependent on fuel prices, right?
So we've used about 40 gallons since May. So, what's it, September?
Mm-hmm.
So that's 3 months.
Wow.
June,
yeah.
July, August, 4 months. So 4 months, and we've been, a 5-hour ride to Norfolk and 5-hour back. We've been to the Eastern Shore 3 times. We've been to Hampton. We've put some miles on the thing. They're not huge gas guzzlers like you would picture your charter boats or fishing boats. We burn about a gallon an hour between both engines. So we've got, anywhere from 8-9 days of fuel if we were going straight.
Yeah. So is life aboard as romantic?
With you on board, baby.
Seems.
Of course.
Okay, so I'll answer this question first, and then, Ryan, I'd love to hear your answer. is it as romantic as it seems to be? Okay, well, you do get beautiful sunrises and beautiful sunsets. You do get the privilege of being in a very intimate setting with your partner or with your guest, whoever you have with family or friends. The boat is a wonderful place to just be close, have dinner together, have good conversations. It facilitates really good, I think, conversations and just memories. So that part is very romantic. I think it's also somewhat romantic to be able to solve problems with your partner. I think when, you're in high winds or when you got to figure something out, it helps to have your partner there to figure that out.
That's a really good point. I feel like it manifests or makes the years commitment together when you're accomplishing stressful situations together, it gives that bond and unity a little bit more strength quicker than it might, where time usually gives that.
But now, is it always romantic? No. I would say during storms, like, everything gets wet. Everything is wet. Not necessarily from leaking. It's just you're walking on a dock, and then you're jumping over water, and if it's raining, you know, we put towels down to kind of capture some of that water, but that's, you know, it's rainy, it's wet, you're living on water, like, you're gonna get wet. During high winds, it can be a little scary for, I get scared, Ryan probably doesn't, I get a little scared, you know, you get a little shaking going on, and,
I thought we were talking about romance, like, I was thinking that.
I know, I'm saying it's not always romantic.
At night, because of our windows. It's like a fishbowl.
Oh, we do. We have
so we have to keep clothes on at night. So there's no romance.
I mean, yeah. I mean, there. Yeah. So, is it as romantic? Absolutely.
Yes.
And is it always romantic? No. Sometimes we're cleaning really hard. Sometimes we're working really hard. Sometimes we're sweating. Like, after a day of sailing, I wouldn't say that I look at Ryan and I'm like, ooh, like, that's a sweaty ball of, like, sweatiness. Like, you know, like, it's not, it is very romantic, and then, you know, sometimes it's not.
It is harder work. It is more physically
intensive. It's a lot of work.
But the gratification and the payout is so superior, in my opinion. That's why we're doing it.
Yeah. So how big of a boat do I need to live aboard?
The first boat I lived on was 30 feet. It was plenty big for where I was in life and our traveling. It was a great bay boat, and it was safe anywhere within the bay. And then, you know, I could have done a lot smaller boat if I hadn't met such a classy girl as yourself. But I had to get one of this caliber to have you on board.
They definitely have boats of all different sizes, and we see people living aboard them all the time. Okay, here's a really important question that we get asked all the time.
I met a guy in a 27-foot Bristol heading down south in the Bahamas that took it all the way to Dominican Republic. So size isn't the biggest thing. It's the safety of the equipment.
Safety, yeah. Okay, so will I still have internet access if I live on a boat?
Depends where you're living, babe. Right now we've got a nice Wi-Fi extender. It's the Redport. It goes about 7 miles is what they say, but we can steal internet from our local community of restaurants, and I wouldn't say steal, borrow internet, or go into the different restaurants and buy a beverage and get the code and then come back to our boat and use it all night long.
But then if we're deciding to leave land, you know, close to land.
Options like the Indian Go that we were considering.
Yeah, there are some options.
Monthly service fee.
Where it's kind of like using the LTE on your cell phone through satellite.
We're not into the ability to get the really expensive internet anywhere at high costs, so we're trying to be extremely budgeted on our shoestring budget to make it work.
How much storage do I need?
Storage for what?
For whatever.
Well,
that's the question for clothes.
I like toys, so I've got, you know, 4 surfboards on board, a couple kite boards, kite gear set up, and spear fishing stuff, and fins, and snorkels, and beyond our just normal clothes and rain gear and foul weather gear and boots and bags.
Yeah, so I'll put this into numbers for you guys. We have 4 clothing drawers. Ryan gets 2. I get 2. And then we have 4 small closets. I have 2. Ryan has 2. And that's it.
We have a ton of space for a boat.
We have a ton of space for a boat, and we're very thankful. But what we're trying to say is that that's what we have for our clothes. Then we have some other storage for, like, extra miscellaneous things, like batteries or, you know, maybe medicine. We have some storage for that. Then we have storage for, surfboards, extra water, for lines, for life vest. That's another thing you have to do. You have to have life vest. You don't have to have life vest in your home.
Backup sails.
We have storage, Yeah, for our plates, for our cups, we have cabinets, we have, I mean, there's places that we can find our things to do laundry. We have some storage for laundry stuff, like laundry detergent, extra sheets.
We've been trying to collect a lot of backup supplies for when we do go cruising. So we just put on two new heat exchangers and new housing because they were so corroded and eaten up. So we have the backup heat exchangers just in case we need to ever get somewhere and need to put it in for a couple days until it gets us to the next place. So we're always storing spare parts.
Yeah, absolutely. So I want to read this quote that I found in a book called The Cruising Woman's Advisor by Diana Jesse. And this book really helped me as I was transitioning to live aboard, and it really helped me understand what that actually means. And so she wrote, "For me, cruising, you know, living aboard, is the simple life. I live on a boat instead of living in a house or in an apartment. My possessions are few. My living space is smaller than what you'd find in a typical mobile home. I do not spend hours cleaning, talking on the phone, or watching television. I share every day, in fact, nearly every minute, with my husband in the same space. We live day to day, planning what we want to do and where we want to go each day. It is rare that we use the phrase, I have to, unless I am writing or the weather is bad. We do not own suitcases. Our dinghy is our car. I didn't expect it to be a lifestyle that I loved, but I really enjoy it. It's not having a set schedule. It's being very open, embracing the unknown, and letting your life flow instead of directing it."
Wow, that's great. Very well put.
I know. I love that. I love that.
I agree. It's focusing on what I consider to be the more important things in life, not the materialistic things that tend to overly consume or preoccupy.
And we're certainly not saying you can't focus on the important things of life on land, but we just have found that when we live aboard, it shifts your priorities, it shifts the way you experience time, the way you experience your partner. All of these different things have been really wonderful.
When we move back to land one day, I'm going to buy you an RV so we can continue this life.
That's okay. Yes. Well, guys, thank you so much for joining us on the Seas Life podcast. Again, if you ever have any questions, please send them our way. We hope we've given you a glimpse into the live aboard life. We do have to, as a summary, we do have to monitor all of the things we have on the boat, our lines, our water, our holding tanks, our propane. And we also have learned some funny lessons like don't bring glass wine glasses aboard. And also, your chicken wings will roll off into the water if you leave them on the grill while the boat's moving. And, you know, we've also learned wonderful things, that sailing is very romantic. Living on a boat is very romantic, and it's also very hard work. So we appreciate you guys. If you came to our party, we love you. Thank you for coming and celebrating Seas Life with us.
Thank everybody for the support, listening to us babble.
Yes.
We appreciate it.
We love it. So we hope to talk to you guys soon. Cheers, and we'll see you soon. Bye.
Cheers.
Cheers. The Seas Life podcast is brought to you by Sheena and Ryan, as well as our friends and family who support our ongoing adventures. If you are a business and would like to advertise with Seas Life, visit our website, www.seasliferforgood.com, or send us an email, seasliferforgood@gmail.com. We love to find new ways to partner and work with you and uplift the ways that you are being amazing in your community. Until next time, cowabunga, and stay safe out there, folks. Bye.